going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The same with James, really, since owners' meeting, since we spoke. Look forward to James putting on our helmet again this year and doing well for us. James is a competitive dude, and look forward to that. That's really probably where we're at. I mean, it's voluntary. So guys come and go. Guys have things going on. Try not to look too far into it. We could all assume he's not here because he's unhappy with his contract or whatever, but that's not fair. He hasn't told me that. No one's told me that he said that. So I think that's kind of unfair to say he's not here because of that. Doesn't mean he's not here next week or the week after. He'll be ready to go, though.
Bills GM Brandon Bean from yesterday at One Bills Drive. We'll talk to Sal about recapping everything we heard from the Bills GM, from Josh Allen as well, ahead of the draft. You know, being given nuggets here and there, talking about the draft process, the trade process, you know, how he and McDermott communicate, how that works. The Bills scouts and Bean will kind of give cut-ups of players to McDermott. It's like, you know, let's know what you think of these guys. You know, here are some of the guys we're looking at. So, you know, the collaboration, all that kind of stuff. It was interesting to hear Bean talk about it. And we expect to talk to him here on the show after the draft maybe. So once things are in the books, we can get his thoughts on all their players and the players they ultimately pick. They'll be at number 30 tomorrow night, so a late pick tomorrow night. And then on Friday at 56 and 62. And those are the picks that, you know, are they going to make all three of those? Are they going to move up somewhere? A lot of fourths, fifths, and sixths. There's movement, potentially, we could see. 803-0550. All right, on Cook. Let me start you here. What's the most important thing a running back can do? Start there. Should the Bills sign Cook to an extension? Because I do get the feeling that this conversation turns to, well, you either got to trade him or you got to give him $15 million. And I know that that's, of course, not true. You let him walk or you got to give him $15 million. That's not true. The Bills have a number that I don't doubt they would sign him. And the question that Bean was not asked, and I don't know how he would answer this because answering it would be negotiating in the media, something that they're going to say they don't want to do. Would you pay a running back big money? It's something the Bills under this regime have not done, really. They've not extended a running back for big money. When they traded for McCoy, they paid him. It's a little different. Would they extend a running back and pay him? Because if they wouldn't ever do it, then they should stop drafting them with premium assets. Because if you don't value the position at all, not ever to extend a guy, then now I'm using a first-round pick or a second-round pick or a third-round pick, which they've used picks on running backs. They've used a 2 on Cook, a 3 on Singletary, a 3 on Zach Moss. They traded for Nyheim Hines, you know, at a deadline. They've been linked to Breece Hall and Travis Etienne all the time. Like, we're every draft, we're, oh, here comes, the Bills are going to take a running back. And if Cook walks, get ready for next year, Are the Bills going to take a running back? There's a couple things about drafting one early, which the league is starting to do again. If you draft a running back in the first or the second round, but you would say you won't ever sign that guy, you are capping your success on that pick. Now I've drafted a player who's only going to play for 4 years, and I'm not going to re-sign him. And that does not seem like good use of a 60th pick or a 53rd pick if you're using seconds. And it certainly doesn't feel like a good value. Oh, you get the prime years of a running back. You get the 5 years right out of the draft. And then you let him walk because I'm not ever going to pay a running back. That's bad use of a first-round pick. You draft a receiver, you're hoping a quarterback, you're hoping that guy plays for you and he's so good, you're like, oh, definitely a position of need, an important position. What happens if a tackle performs well as a first-round pick? Lock him up 7 more years, baby. Same with defensive end, defensive tackle, corner. I mean, there's so many positions that you would want a second contract. And I don't think the Bills are a team that would say, no, never do a second contract with a running back. Would they do a second one with Cook at the right price? Like, that's the thing we kind of have to wait to find out. As we get further down the line, whether this is a year from now. I don't know when the reporting comes out or if Cook wants to share it publicly, because that's one way we get our information on these things is the running back that's waiting for a contract tells the story of what's happening. You know, he's not at OTA, or sorry, he's not at phase one, and that's not that big a deal. It's voluntary. But, you know, phase two, phase three, wherever we get to, we'll talk to Sal about the schedule. How do they handle this? The question he has not been asked, and I don't know how he would answer, would you pay a running back? The fact that they used a second-round pick, I hope that they would. Otherwise, I'm capping my success on those picks, and I don't want to do that. To the question of what's the most important thing a running back does, it might be different for different teams, but what's the most important thing that the running back, the starting running back of the Buffalo Bills does in this offense? What's the most important thing that running back can do? My answer would be explosive plays. When Joe's here and we talk about Cook, he makes a lot of points that are fair points about, well, three down back. Maybe if they played a guy that played more than Cook plays, hey, hold on. This is everybody eats, right? That's what this offense is supposed to be. No one is supposed to be leaned on too much other than Josh. It's everybody eats. Does that apply to running backs too? I think it does. They throw to Ty Johnson. They throw the ball to Ray Davis. They include them as part of the offense. But the most important thing for this offense for a running back, in my opinion, is the explosive plays. And James Cook delivers on those in a big way. This is a team that is still looking for explosive plays and went to the offseason saying explosive plays last year. And now McDermott's saying, you know, vertical and horizontal speed to stretch the field. They still want some more downfield stuff, some more explosiveness. No Cook on this team. Maybe you think you can just go out and snag some guy in the fifth round who's going to have explosive runs. There are a lot of cautionary tales. The people that know that running backs, sure, sometimes deliver from the later rounds, but very often kind of don't, play a lot of fantasy football in deep leagues, and you draft guys like, oh, this guy's going to be a stud, and he never shows up and never plays, and certainly doesn't replace James Cook's production. So on Cook, I don't know if the Bills will pay a running back. I'm very open to it, and I think we're seeing more and more of the good teams using it as a finishing piece. If you missed yesterday, the comparison I made from a positional standpoint is a closer in baseball. And I've, since hearing that Scott Pianowski made that point, since reading Scott write that a running back is a closer in baseball, I thought, I love that. That's perfect. You don't need one if you stink, but if you're good, boy, it's super important. It can really help. And the way that these teams around the Bills have kind of added that finishing piece, whether that's the Eagles, who were good before Barkley, or the Ravens, who were good before Henry. They went out and they added studs to try and get it over the line, and both those teams have had great success with those players. I mean, the Ravens haven't been to a Super Bowl with Derrick Henry, but they're about to go with year two. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Derrick in Cape Cod on James Cook. As we talk about Cook, we'll get to Sal at 7:30. Hey, Derrick, good morning.
Good morning. My prediction would be to have the Bills trade up to number three for Abdul Carter. Obviously, they'd have to package some picks. You'd probably have a better idea what picks they would need to package up to three. But they would also give Cook, and if they needed a pass rusher, maybe Epenesa. But I definitely think it's something that could happen, and I don't feel like a lot of people are talking about it. But I'd like to get your thoughts on that, and go Bills.
Yeah, I mean, you're not getting up to three with James Cook and A.J. Epenesa, but if you want to get up there, I'll tell you what it'll cost. For instance, the Bills, if you want draft value chart, the third pick is worth 2,200 points. Every Bills pick in this draft. Let's play this game. Every Bills pick in this draft is worth approximately 960, 11, 1,200, 1,300, 1,400. You have to give them the entire draft and next year's first, and that's not enough. Which, of course, that's not likely. Abdul Carter, defensive end, Penn State, has long been linked as like the top edge guy. Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, has put James Pierce number one over Carter. While that trade's not going to happen, you know how many times A.J. Epenesa has been traded this offseason? Is it 2,000 times? Poor A.J. Epenesa. What about giving him Epenesa? Everybody's ready to trade Epenesa.
The amount of calls I've taken with that.
Trade Epenesa.
Yep.
If he does get traded, that'd be kind of funny. Everybody called it. All right, let's get stupid. Abdul Carter, how do you make it happen? You give the Browns two firsts. This one, a future first, and another. To go from 30 to 3. There's never really been a jump like that before. You'd have to go, it'd be nuts. But I would have done that for Myles Garrett and paid him $40 million. And, of course, that's not happening. There was a chart going around. If you want to do this, this is a fun one. I got to go back and find it. I'm going to try and get through this as I talk about it. As the player you pick, where they would rank among that position in salary. To give you an example, the Bills pick 30th. They could pick a running back. I'm not going to pick a running back. Running back, receiver, quarterback, tight end, defensive end, defensive tackle, linebacker, corner, safety. And what this breakdown did was, all right, if you draft a defensive end, the rookie wage scale, how much are you paying that defensive end compared to other defensive ends? And what you learn is that if you want to save the most money and get the highest surplus in value on how much it costs to get a defensive end on the market, the number one position to exploit and do that with at 30 is defensive end. It's the best idea. It's the best idea for, and that was a lot of what we talked about when they took Rousseau and Basham back-to-back. When they took Rousseau and Basham back-to-back in the first and second rounds, I mean, Rousseau has turned into a nice player, and Basham never became anything for the Bills, and they dumped him for like a sixth. But the mindset there, I thought it was easy to defend. It's a point that we make about receiver a lot. The Bills just don't seem to believe it at receiver. But at defensive end, this is an expensive position. It's hard to get these guys. Guys stay in the league for a long time, and guys like look at Bosa. Bosa's been banged up a lot, hurt a lot, and he's still got pretty good money. And if you're trying to go out and trade for whoever, these defensive ends, the numbers are going up and up and up. The receiver market explodes, sure. So does the corner market soon. So does there are five or six premium positions where you're paying more. And those are the positions you should draft if you just want surplus value on the pick. Don't take guards. Don't take safeties. Definitely don't take running backs. Don't take tight ends. Not in the first round. You want to take defensive ends and tackles and receivers and quarterbacks. Corners as well. So where am I going with that? On Abdul Carter, like the Bills moving up to three to take Abdul Carter, if it were to happen, and they were to give up, what, two firsts? My guess is it would take two firsts to do that, and probably more. I mean, people would call it irresponsible. How good is he? Is he going to be a top 15 player in the NFL? If I could tell you he's, by year three, a first-team All-Pro defensive end, would you trade 30 and the next two firsts for that? There's a fun question. And you can't know that. And that's why people are against trading up, is because you don't know who's going to be good. That's right. You don't know that Justin Jefferson's going to be better than a couple guys taken ahead of him. You don't know that. You have a good idea of who might be good. I mean, the draft is not total randomness. The draft is not a crapshoot. You don't have as many seventh-rounders succeeding as you do firsts. Most of the good players are in the first round, and then the second, then the third, then the fourth, then the fifth. There are a lot of jobs in the NFL, a lot of players that get picked. You find a Khalil Shakir in the fifth round, that's a nice find. You find a Matt Milano, a Christian Benford, that's a nice find. Sometimes you get out of a draft and your later picks are better. But it's not a crapshoot. It's playing odds. And would you want to, you know, spend a little more for better odds? Think of it like, I mean, listen, the gambling world is, a lot of you out there are maybe more versed in it than you ever were before. You've got a point spread in a game. The spread is 3. If you want to buy better odds, you go ahead and you buy points or tease it or whatever you want to say. You bet an alternate spread. That's what I'm trying to say here. I don't want to give the 3 points. I want to bet this as even. You still might lose, but your odds are better. You want to pay for that. And that's the draft. We talked yesterday about the Bills trading their first-round pick for a proven player, something that I've seen reported the Eagles could do. Are the Eagles about to trade their first-round pick for Trey Hendrickson? I mean, that'd be nice if they did. I would do that in a heartbeat if I were the Bills. I don't think the Bengals will make that trade. Teams that are where the Bills are, trading these picks for proven players. I mean, the best Bills draft pick since Allen was the Diggs pick trade. It's the best thing they've done with a draft pick. Cost them a first and a fourth, and they got an incredible player that helped transform them. He was proven. They thought he was going to pop even more, and he did. Looking back, it was an incredible move. Kind of easy to forecast it being great. The day it happened, it was, this is awesome. This guy's going to fit perfectly. It's going to be great. And it was. And I don't know what the next one of those is, but man, if I'm a GM that's on a contending team, especially with Josh Allen as my quarterback, it just, you can't go far enough to me to say being aggressive is good. You have an insurance policy. Josh Allen is your safety net. Allen going out there with a no-name offense, that's not what this offense is. I'm saying hypothetically, a complete no-name offense. Next year, Shakir and Kincaid and Coleman all get hurt, and the Bills win 11 games. Okay, I guess you don't need those guys? No, I wouldn't say that. I think you have an unbelievable insurance policy. Josh Allen is your stability. And when you have that, you have something other teams don't. I don't want to play the same game as them. I don't want to play the it's important to be cautious. And I mean, being sometimes for my taste is a little too it's important to be good for many, many years. You're going to be. You don't have to worry about that. Last year's a great year to prove that. Transition year, added a whole draft class as you got rid of all your leaders. That draft class did not even really contribute in a very big way, and you still were an awesome team. Like what Allen did for the Bills last year as the MVP was usher them out of an era with a bunch of important players leaving, turning it over, transitioning with a defense that couldn't make stops, a offensive weapon set that was eh, and he just carried them, and everything was fine. So maybe the slow play is what Bean thinks is the right play there. I don't think so. I think he will, when the moment is there, he'll strike. Do we think the Bean that traded for Diggs doesn't exist anymore? Do we think the Bean that signed Vaughn is just gone? But he was a gunslinger early, big baller Bean early, and now he's going to be, oh, it's important to just use the picks and trust the process and trust the board. Like, to a point, yeah, you always want to do that. But I'm maybe this isn't the offseason for it. My last offseason, that didn't appear to be the one for it. But I think the haymaker Bean is still there somewhere and just kind of waiting for the moment. He's not afraid of it. He's never shown to be. The Cooper trade. If the Cooper trade worked out better, we would look at it like that. That was a trade they made. Like, you know what? We gotta go get a number one receiver, and They might have been on Davante Adams right before he went to the Jets and go to get Cooper. Now, Cooper didn't really have a big impact. If he did, it would be right up there on Bean's resume as like, look at the swings this guy takes to make sure his team's going to be in a position. He's not afraid. But since it didn't really work out that way, I don't think we give Cooper that same kind of, you know, gravitas around the significance of the move. 803-0550. Sal on the other side to help recap what Bean had to say and what Josh Allen had to say as well. While wearing an Everybody Eats hat, Josh was. You won't catch me in that hat ever. You won't. I'm not putting that hat on my head. Respectfully. 803-0550. Sal, when we return, Joe Marino, Lockdown Bills podcast, draft day tomorrow. If you're on hold, you know, we'll get to your calls with Sal to recap Brandon Bean next.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. The draft is tomorrow, and we are taking over Resurgence Brewing for the ultimate draft night party. Tomorrow, 7 p.m. Tickets, $45, includes pizza, all you can drink, beer, and well drinks. Enjoy live analysis, huge TVs, crystal clear sound. You don't miss a pick. Plus local vendors, including Paula's Donuts, and giveaways all night, including an all-inclusive fantasy football party for 12 at Resurgence Brewing, courtesy of Resurgence. No purchase necessary. Get your tickets now at resurgencebrewing.com. We will be there. Joe and I will be there for the draft party. Going to have a good time. Josh and Owen, they're coming. And, you know, we're going to hang out, drink beer, and yell at the television. Sal, what's better than that?
That's great.
Right?
I'll make you a deal. I'll make you a deal. Okay,
right.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. If the Bills trade up and draft in the top 10, because then it will be early in the night, all right, I will make it over to Resurgence after that.
All right.
Then Brandon Bean comes out and he says, we're done. We've made our pick. We'll see you tomorrow. I'll be like, all right, I'll do my podcast with Matt Bove. We'll recap and I'll head over to Resurgence and hang out. They got to draft early enough for me for that to happen.
Yeah. The thing about drafting late like that is, you know, going, you're gonna get your money's worth in terms of, you know, your ticket, getting your beer and your pizza. And someone asked me, what happens if the Bills trade up and draft 10th? I say, well, then we just stay and we get our money's worth, you know?
Yeah.
So anybody that's coming out.
You just hang out and you just talk about life and football and enjoy the night.
That's right. Then we just like yell at the Steelers. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go and yell at the Steelers. It's my favorite thing to do. All right, Sal, well, you were yesterday at One Bills Drive. We heard from Josh Allen. We heard from Tre'Davious White, right? Also, we heard from Brandon Bean. Mm-hmm. So lots going on there. Let's start with Allen. You know, he shows up. One of the things he said was that he feels like he's, I don't know, quite best shape of his life, but that he feels great. That this year he took less of a beating, or maybe he was less beat up at the end of it.
Yeah, there is a difference, I think, when we normally hear guys say, I'm in the best shape of my life. Guys say that all the time, right? That's not what he said. What he said was he didn't have the wear and tear in his body, and he wasn't as sore, had as many issues. And I'm trying to get the exact quote, but that's what it was for him, which I thought was very interesting. Now, part of that is because Josh Allen was kept pretty clean last year. Jeremy, I mean, Bills were really, really low. I think they had the lowest number of sacks allowed in the entire league. I think it was like kind of record setting in that regard for the Buffalo Bills, if I remember correctly. But that being said, I mean, Josh really was able to stay upright the whole season. Obviously, there was a couple issues early on. The Baltimore game was one of them. A little bit scary there. And then as the season went on, as we know, like just did a great job of protecting him. And he said yesterday that, you know, this is why he said, you know what it translated to? The reason why was because we asked him kind of what he did this offseason. And he said that he didn't have to take as much time to recover for his body as normal. That's how we got here, which with him answering this, which I thought was interesting because, you know, Josh is typically a kind of guy who will tell you like, hey, you know, I play, I'm very physical when I play and I got to take a little time off from my body to get ready for the next season. He said he didn't have to do as much of that this year because his body was already feeling a lot better than normal.
Good to know. I mean, good to hear, you know, you want your QB1 feeling healthy and that's good. In terms of the rest of it, Sal, you know, maybe the most interesting thing was his comment about being in touch with Keon Coleman and how Coleman had texted him. You know, Coleman's been kind of challenged, whatever. I mean, you could use it a lot of different words here, by the Bills front office to come back and be ready because of how the season finished after his injury. And Allen is right there with Bean to point out how young Coleman is, like 21 years old. And You know, it's not lost on me, Sal. I bet Coleman, from the coach to the GM to the quarterback, is feeling responsibility here, right? Like, we're counting on you to be the best version of yourself. It's the kind of thing, you know, we talk about a lot with this team, how this organization wants to bring out the best version of yourself. And they're definitely asking that of Keon Coleman going into year two.
No doubt about it. And I think it's time for him to step up, especially what they saw from him last year, middle of the season, and then what they didn't see from him after the injury. And that's been well documented. It's been well noted. We heard Brandon Bean talk about that at the end of the season. Sean McDermott talk about that at the end of the season. I think they felt that there was a lot more there that they could get out of him at the end of the season that just didn't translate after the injury. So now you want to see it because you started to see it as the season went on. And I thought it was interesting, too, that Josh not only made that same point, Jeremy, I thought he kind of was pretty, I guess, as aggressive as Josh can be when he talks about something, right? Josh isn't normally like that, but he wanted to make sure we all knew, like, it was a point for him. Hey, like, he's young, and, you know, we need to know that, and this guy has a lot of room to be able to grow. And he said he's heavier, meaning, like, he's thicker, he's gaining muscle mass, and he really wants to be great. So I thought it was interesting that coming from Josh Allen himself, the fact that he kind of wanted to make it a point to let everybody know, like, hey, this kid is a young kid. He's going to be really good, and we got to understand that about him. But I think from an organizational standpoint, you're right, which is they need more out of him in year two. And I would say this, Jeremy, I think they need more of him right away in year two.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think this is a thing where it's, you know, let's ramp up and we saw some glimpses, so now we're going to, you know, get him going.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Swing for the fences with the Fence Authority. They've been providing the Delaware Valley with fences for almost three decades. With four stores throughout the region and one of the largest inventories of wood, vinyl, and aluminum fencing, the Fence Authority makes your next fence as easy as 1, 2, 3. Do it yourself or get it installed with the best workmanship warranties in the country. So swing for the fences at the Fence Authority. Your new fence is waiting at fenceauthority.com.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial
financial aspects of your trip. Whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
One again, and no, there's no let's get to eight games and he's going to be the best version of himself. I think they need him to hit the ground running week one and saying this is, I guess if you want to put a number one wide receiver, whatever, Khalil Shakir might be that guy, but this is a guy that's going to be a primary target that we're going to rely on that's a big part of our offense.
Allen was at the podium wearing an Everybody Eats hat, which that's back for another year, which is good. Like that's between him and Joe Brady. McDermott and Bean have kind of said that. And then Bean was asked about how that might affect this year's draft, given that that seems to be back as a mantra.
Yeah, it was really interesting. He was wearing that hat, and I also wondered, like, is that something that, okay, they had this transition from Stephon Diggs and lots of targets and all the talk about it, whether it was intentional or not, to say everybody eats because we don't want to be selfish. And again, not saying it was intentional against anybody, but it was just this mantra to let everybody know this is a team mentality and we're going to do this. And then you have last year where Josh becomes MVP, right? And he does have that mentality, and they do have that mentality as a group, and it worked for the most part. 30 points a game, how could you say it didn't? But they didn't have anybody that really had these amazing eye-popping statistics. So you go into this year and think, okay, they got that back to where they want it. You know, is that something that comes up again? And sure enough, it does. Not only from him saying it, but literally wearing the cap that says everybody eats. Now, I do think there's some nuance here to everybody eats, right? Because Brandon Bean even talked about this. He was asked specifically, does everybody eats mean, like, when you, if you have a guy there that, you know, this is a receiver, come in here, really get a lot of targets, and we have a guy that's possibly, you know, just kind of number one alpha receiver, if you will. He said no. I mean, anytime he has a guy they can add value, like, they're not going to hesitate to do that. You're not going to shy away from a guy because you think he could be that type of player. Of course, he's really great. But I think the nuance is, when they talk about everybody eats, Jeremy, it's not just catching passes. What they're talking about is all of the different roles you have to play as a wide receiver. Josh made it a point to mention blocking, right? Like, there's going to be times where you're going to be the primary target, and then there's going to be times where you got to be the guy who's got to block for the primary target or got to block for the running back or whatever. That's what everybody eats mean. Everybody eats means it's not just, and I'll say it this way. This is my phrase, okay, it's coming from them. I think the way I look at it is not just everybody eats, but everybody serves, right? Everybody serves for everyone else to eat. And I think that's kind of the mentality they have. It's not just about the statistics you see.
Yeah. I mean, do your job, do your 111. That sounds like it's kind of, it falls in that vein. And, you know, Sal, with that, they might need more help for Allen, but not much. I mean, we look at this offense as mostly complete. Bean saying that he said earlier last time he spoke that he didn't necessarily see it as a need. We all expect him to snag somebody at receiver somewhere along the way. And then past that, the only other thing to get to with the offense is James Cook not being there for phase one. It is voluntary. And Sal, you might be able to speak to this, like how it's sometimes it's not a big deal if a guy's not there right now. It's only a big deal if there's some other context, like a contract, because, you know, that's who our antenna are up about.
That's right. And of course, because he's not at this phase one and because he has the public comments about the contract and everything that's surrounding that, you immediately get to that. But Brandon Bean said, he said it's unfair to assume that's why he's not here. He could be here next week. He could be here in a couple of weeks. He said he has not been told specifically that he's not showing up because of a contract situation. And then he also added that he'll be ready to roll, you know, when it's time to be ready to roll. And when asked about what James Cook's future holds, basically Brandon Bean said he's going to be, you know, putting on a Buffalo Bills helmet and playing this year, and he's under contract. I still believe that's the most likely outcome, Jeremy, which is James Cook will play this year on the final year of his deal. After that, maybe they still sign him. They still can sign him at any point during the season, after the season, whatever. They have the franchise tag. They can do all of that stuff after the season. I just don't see at this point how the two sides get to an extension based on what it appears James Cook wants. Is it out of the realm if all of a sudden Cook's like, yeah, heck with that. You know, I'll play for a lot less. Sure, you could always have something like that happen before the season, but it doesn't seem like that's the case. So in the meantime, while you have this kind of public public airing for James Cook from his side of things, not from the Bills, and then he doesn't show up, it's hard not to tie the two together, right?
Yeah.
It's hard not to assume that, even though I know that Brandon Bean says it's unfair to assume that.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. What else struck you from Bean? He was asked a little bit about the process, putting together the board, and then there was a question about how he and McDermott kind of collaborate on this, right? The two primary decision makers, the GM, the head coach, and it felt like Bean was going a long way. He knows that the picks ultimately, the buck stops with him, but he painted a picture of a collaborative where there's times where he doesn't necessarily think the player is the right guy. You know what I'm saying, Sal. You heard him lay it out. Sometimes it's 85-15 on a guy. He's on the 15, but it's trusting the whole organization setup, whether that's coaches, scouts, everybody, that it really is a collaboration, and there are disagreements when they make their decisions.
And disagreements are healthy, and that's okay. I think it would be weird if everyone always agreed on everything, right? You'd think that someone is just doing that to make someone feel better. Like, you're going to have, you're different in how you view players. There's no doubt. Everybody's human. And he even said, like, there's egos. People want to be right on a guy, no doubt about that. But, you know, you want to make sure that you have conviction on what you're saying. And, you know, the theme that Brandon Bean always comes back to, and he says this phrase, it's not my pick, it's the Buffalo Bills pick. It's an organizational pick. That's why it's got to be collaborative. Sure, there's a person ultimately responsible. That's Brandon Bean. He's the general manager. You know, he's in charge of that department, the college and the pro scouting departments and all that. He is the guy. But he wants to be collaborative to make sure that everyone has a say. And he said there's times where he has disagreements, but he'll listen to what someone has to say. And then, yeah, you know what? All right, I see what you're saying here. And maybe that gets him to a different spot where he particularly was on a player. When it comes to McDermott, you know, I thought it was interesting. He said he gives Sean several targets to take a look at. He said, especially on defense, because Sean obviously knows defense and he's coached that his whole life. And he'll say, here are some guys that our scouts really like and blah, 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 or what we think about them. Take a look and see what you think. And then Sean will watch the film and then he'll talk to some of the scouts. He'll talk to other people. You know, what do you think about this player? They'll meet with them and they'll kind of get more of a general feel from what Sean thinks. What's really interesting too is he said, right now, what they're doing, so I asked him, like, what are you in your process? First thing he said was, we're doing mock drafts right now. Mm-hmm. So for everybody who wonders, yes, teams do mock drafts. Of course they do. They want to see how they think the board is going to fall. And Brandon Bean has, over the years, told us, he'll say, you do the Lions, you do the 49ers, you do the Bears. Like, he has staff members do that. They're doing that. And he said, interesting to me, what they're doing is they're kind of getting a consensus from his staff on, okay, this player is.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports?
You can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails. Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
TA, day one starter. This player, is he a primary backup? This player, is he a guy we're going to maybe have to try and find a way to even get a jersey on game day? There's going to be disagreements there, but you want to put those guys in buckets. Even though you have kind of grades on them, now you have to also figure out what they are for the Buffalo Bills. Because that answer, Jeremy, is of course different for the Bills than it is for another team, based on system, based on fit, based on contracts down the road. All of those things matter. That's why it's a Buffalo Bills board and a Buffalo Bills draft.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Sal, wrapping up here with you today on Bean, Tre'Davious White, and Allen. We'll get to Tre'Davious White, who, it's interesting, we still don't have numbers yet, right? I have not seen numbers on that deal, which
should be sometime soon, okay. I would think. Sometimes those contracts don't hit the system for several days, but he signed it officially 2 days ago, so I'm guessing sometime in the next couple
days. This is a bit like playing a mock draft game where I've got 10 different thoughts over 10 different days about what the number will be. But after Trey White, he told his agent, if you can't get Buffalo on the phone, then don't call me. Basically, like this is the only place he wants to go. And the fact that that it was here, I almost want to put the number back down a little bit lower because he wants to go to one place. They call the one place says yes, right? Granted, there's a history there, but I found it interesting that was his mindset. He never wanted to leave, and he's of course thrilled to be back.
I think I've said this to you, maybe not while you were on the show specifically recently, but I'll tell you the story of when the Bills played the Ravens in the playoffs last year. Caught up with Tre'Davious White after the game, just kind of like, hey, how you doing, man? How's the family? You know, they just lost. I'm being respectful of that particular aspect of his season. But I said to him, you know, hey, I know you're going to be a free agent this offseason. You know, what do you think? And you think you'd ever want to come back here? Kind of just smiling and smirking. And he goes, I didn't anticipate this answer, but he looked right at me and said, I would love to come back here, and I've made it known. That's what he said to me.
Yeah.
And here we are this many months later. It's obvious that, you know, the Bills felt the same way because he said that this started a couple months ago. And he basically said the same thing yesterday, you know, that he made it known pretty quickly, like this is where he wanted to be if he could make it work. And you never know if that's going to happen. So it wasn't a total shock to me that this wound up happening here. The number is interesting because when you say, what's the number? So we know he signed for up to $6.8 million. The lower the number on the cap means the more he's betting on himself, if that makes sense. Because what's going to happen here is, take a look at the contract. If he's only playing for a minimum salary, let's say for a, you know, 8-9 year veteran, and his cap hit is very minimal, but all of his incentives can be maxed out, then what he's saying is, I'm going to sign for that because I'm going to bet on myself to hit a lot of those, right? That's really what he's saying there. And I'm interested to see how that fits because the Bills obviously don't have a ton of cap room and they're going to want to keep that cap down to a minimum. But I think there's a little bit of give and take there about, you know, what he probably wanted. But you're right, Jeremy. He probably comes here for less because it's here more than, you know, anywhere else that could have been offered. And for Tre'Davious, you know, I don't know if people realize this. He just turned 30 years old. He's not like a 33, 34-year-old guy. And I think we think about him like that because he's been with the Bills for so long. He's McDermott's first draft pick. He's had these injuries. He just turned 30 years old. Yes, I know that's a little bit older, especially for his position. It's not like he's been in the league. Stephon Gilmore came into the league 5 years before Tre'Davious White.
Is he somewhere now? Did he latch on?
No, he's still a free agent.
Okay, he was Minnesota last year.
Right, but Yeah, where did he wind up going? Was it Minnesota? No, no. I have to look at his. He bounced around, but either way, here's the thing. I think about that, and he's a guy. I will tell you, like, I know the Bills were looking into some veteran corners. That was a name that I'd heard. Kendall Fuller was a name I heard. Tre'Davious White was a name that I heard. Obviously, they go out, they sign Tre'Davious, they bring back Dane Jackson. I guess the point I'm just making is, like, I think that we kind of maybe. I think a lot of people have to realize that Trey isn't like this some super old guy. What it is he's a little bit older and he's had these injuries, but you know, he still has time left. And I asked him about his future overall. And of course, you know, hey, I'm just concentrating one day at a time this year. And he said really interesting and kind of really, you know, perspective here. He said when he tore his Achilles, he didn't realize that would be the last time he'd ever play with Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. And that's really allowed him to gain a perspective of taking every day, each day at a time.
Sal Capaccio. Thanks, Sal. We'll chat tomorrow.
You got it, guy.
The draft, of course, is tomorrow. You can join us Friday for round two. We'll be at Wayland. Tell you more about that after the break. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast and Locked On NFL Scouting. He joins us for the top of the hour. We're going to talk about some doomsday guys, some guys Joe wants to avoid, among other things, coming up here on WGR. Had someone in the chat point this out, that Josh wearing the Everybody Eats hat is a smokescreen. Bills moving up. Travis Hunter, book it. Smokescreen wearing Everybody Eats hat. Make the league think they're still not interested. No, whatever. They're probably not going to do that. Chat's trying to get up to number three overall. Chat's also trying to get Micah Parsons. It's been a busy day. Jeremy and Joe out today, but Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, joins us on the other side. We'll talk to him about something we don't normally do. Players to avoid. The doomsday scenario. Stay away from these players. Get to that and some more thoughts on how the first round could shake out. You can give us a ring. 803-0550. Joe Marino next.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drop deep to left.
Ohtani connects to the score.
Strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.